Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I'm very pumped about Victoria Charros, right?
Yes.
Charros. Victoria's joining us today. So glad to be able to have you here.
Thank you.
We had to go up into the middle of the United States to meet and find out how close we were, you know, kind of geographically close. But I am pumped about what we're going to be sharing today, about what God's laying on your heart and all that. And but I just want to say to our audience that God is moving. And I feel in my heart, and others feel it as well, and I know Victoria feels it, and other, that God's about to do something powerful. I mean, you can tell that because of this huge wave of the antithesis of what it looks like. You know, when your back's against this Pharaoh's army and you're facing an impossible Red Sea, God's about to part the situation, do something pretty powerful, to show himself mighty. And I'm just really pumped about that. And we've been waiting for this day to come to pass, but Victoria, talk to us. You know, talk to our audience, you know, they're listening and they're watching that, you know, first of all, you know, we had a chance to go to the Harvest Summit.
Yeah.
You know, and that was pretty unique. You know, our experience was, you know, we wanted to go, you know, and, you know, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around here. Yeah. So we get a lot of chance to do it. But God opened the door, and I found out when we got there was a lot of leaders, just like yourself, in the context of that, I said, boom. And it just suddenly just went to the Harvest Fest in Fort Mills, South Carolina. Yeah. Right. So tell us what was your experience like?
It was very exciting. Just a God journey for me, especially not knowing anything about Morningstar or any of that. And watching Rick Joyner's prophetic perspectives. And at the end, you know, he talked about the Harvest Summit. And he said, if you've been called to the harvest to come. Right. And the Lord said, go.
Right.
And so I went, and I didn't know what I was going to get into. I didn't know if it was going to be 20 people or it was going to be 200
And you've
people.
Never been to a Morningstar?
No.
Yeah.
No, I've never even heard of Rick Joyner
before that. Pretty intense.
Yes. Know, like
when everybody, when you have you have maybe 800,000 folks sitting there, and somebody says, you know, I was just flying around this room in my sleep. And nobody blinked an eye, right?
Yeah, that's normal.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The people that were there were amazing, yes.
It was encouraging, wasn't it, to see so many people that are like leaders in the harvest and you know, what is God doing? And this, I think, too, one way to explain it is that we're not crazy meeting.
That's exactly right.
Because those that are hearing prophetically, right, you know, what God is saying and some things that are taking place, when you get together with prophetic people from around the world, you just kind of go, oh, I'm not crazy. This is what God's saying, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I know when you were there that you had a chance to go on this whole journey, but you also got a chance to go to Moravian Falls.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your experience at Moravian Falls, how that came to pass.
I was up front worshiping, and a lady, Miss Loretta, came up behind me and started praying over me, prophesying over me. And she asked me to come to her home in Moravian Falls afterwards.
Right.
And I didn't know her. Come to find out, she's one of the intercessors for Morningstar. Mm-hmm. And so I followed her back the day after the conference was over. And I did not know the deep spiritual history behind Moravian Falls.
There's a little bit of history there, I think. It's like the birthing of America, maybe, that happened, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Wow. At least spiritually.
Yes. Spiritually.
Yes. So apparently the Moravians came over and prayed and farmed for 100 years.
100 years.
Yeah, and they've just prayed around the clock every day, every hour. And from what I understand from reading some of the history online about it, some of on Rick Joyner's website too as well.
Yeah, MorningstarMinistries.org, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the things that Miss Loretta had showed me and told me about, that there's angels that have been seen there by many
angels.
People. Angels. Visitations.
Wow.
And apparently Rick Joyner, from what I understand, has written some of his books there too as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's written books like Final Quest.
The Call.
The Call.
Torching the Sword.
Vision, Torching the Sword. Kind of talking about some of these journeys. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apparently the Lord had told him and other people that are associated with Morningstar to go and buy land there in Moravian Falls.
Wow. Oh, wow. Don Potter, right?
Yeah.
Don Potter lives. I didn't know that. You were telling me Don lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Loretta was showing me his, pointing out different houses. And so that was kind of neat because I didn't know anything about that. She showed me at top of a mountain. They were actually having a, I think it was a transformational summit, was the name of it. And
Lance
Walnew.
Yeah. Is that right?
Walnow. I said it wrong.
Nah. Okay.
Nah.
All right.
But there's people that were up there on top of the mountain looking for the angels that had been seen there by many people before. So this was all new to me. It's the first time I'd ever heard of it. So I felt like it was just a gift from the Lord to go, hey, I'm going to show you this great place that, you know, that's near and dear to my heart.
A 20-day awesome adventure. Well, I know, too, that the thing about, you know, Rick Joyner and those in leadership, they worship God, they love Jesus, and have some divine encounters, and they appreciate what God's doing in, with the angels and different things, versus you have some other situations going on where it's angel kind of focused. And that's just something that God is doing, you know, because you have ministering angels that come down for and to deliver everything. But 100 years of prayer. And that's where we birth, you know, part of what God birthed with us on Mondays that I was telling you about when we were talking, that thanks to the Moravians, thanks to Mike Bickle with International House in Prayer, began to show us how to pray for an extended period of time. I mean, 100 years, I mean, you just talk 100 minutes quite often in America, and it's like churches only last 15 minutes. What do you mean 100? And so then we began to walk out how to pray for 24 hours straight with 3-hour shifts. And it was birthed with that. I remember the Moravian house, the round house thing that we had in there. And now, I guess, how many years has it been?
It's going on 5-6 years now.
Yeah, we're still trying to get this one day. You know, we got it, but it's just like, you know, it just takes 6 others and we get 24 hours. But we believe, especially what we're, you know, how we're praying before this. I mean, God just showed up, didn't he, powerfully? As we prayed before this broadcast and what God is doing. And so first, also, you know, you are a nurse also with hospice, right?
I'm a registered nurse, yes.
Registered nurse. And the ministry that your brother and helped found, I believe, in Haiti?
He is helping. He is one of the major decision makers for Danita's Orphanage
in
Haiti.
Amazing ministry. Mm-hmm. We're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Excellence is what I see when I see that, because we got some friends of ours that are doing ministry there, and I thought, man, what a perfect comparison to help them to see how that, you know, it's just isn't, it's amazing what they're doing, how they're excellent. It just, this is Haiti, when you, right, when you look at it compared to different areas of Haiti.
So they take such good care of the children there. There's a lady, Danita Estrella, that is the one who started it, and at last check, my son and I were there, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years ago now. And back then they had 75, but the earthquake hit after that. They had 150 children, and they take care of just hundreds of kids in the village around there too as well, feed them and put them through their school too as well.
Right.
They have a church on the grounds, and they just built a hospital, pediatric hospital there too as well.
And she's just one woman that said yes to God, right? It was nothing there.
Yes.
And she, other than the vision, just God speaking. And now that she walks through the streets, what happens when she walks through the streets of Haiti?
They say, Mommy Danita.
Mommy Danita. Is that not awesome?
Wow.
We've got to meet her. I mean, we've got to actually introduce Lewis and David to them down there with Live Hope and Learn. And Sela. I don't know if they know Sela or not, but we just, our hearts been towards Haiti as well. It's interesting, too, about this earthquake, because that was kind of an epicenter. When you think about, because we walked out of this 10-year prophecy, the Malachi mandate that, you know, for 10 years, just prophesy and take in fathers and sons and, you know, mentors and fatherless sons in the wilderness to be able to God to heal those relationships, those wounds, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. Well, after 10 years, you know, the Lord just showed up. As a matter of fact, he showed up right here in this studio at that time, but wasn't in the studio. And I just stood up and it's like, you know, just, that's all you do. You just stand up, right?
It's
like, okay. It's like a charged environment, by the way. So I'm not saying, you know, it was just charged environment. And all of a sudden the Lord just speaks to me and says, you know, that they didn't turn, that go carry on now. And he says, commissioning me for this next thing that we were doing and now doing. And that right after that is when the earthquake happened. in Haiti. And that's when you were there, right?
We were there. We left, I believe it was 2 weeks before the earthquake.
And so that, I was on a sabbatical, you know, and I meant the wilderness, like no, you know, it was like maybe a microwave. No, I don't know. it was a sabbatical. And next thing you know, God brought Haiti to me in the wilderness and China, by the way. And this person was going right to where God was going to, we're going to send some aid and some different things going on. I mean, God's going to do something powerful in Haiti, I really believe.
Yes.
But it's kind of like this epicenter, because he says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. So when the earthquake hit, God told me that in my office. And then boom, this thing hit. And it was like the beginning of this unfolding of what we're seeing. That was going to be a huge revival taking place, it looks like, in the nation. Maybe third great awakening in America. Mm-hmm. Well, I know, I'm looking at your father, you know, I hadn't got a chance to meet your father, but I just feel this thing in my heart as I'm looking over his books and just hearing how you describe his ministry. And Dr. Anise, right? Dr. Anise Shirosh, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I got three of his books here that you blessed us with, and we're going to have Kamal on, you know, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
I got a copy of him, but this is the True.
True for Khan.
True for Khan. And for Khan means...
I can't tell you. Well, I don't know.
What's really cool, it's a comparison. If you can see this right here, and it's written in
Arabic.
And it's mm-hmm. translated. And when you're thinking, you're trying to reach, you know, Muslims for the Lord. How many, he's done this his whole life, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah, so that particular book, he translated.
He translated.
Yeah, it wasn't the writer, but the translator.
And it says, you know, to the Arab nation specifically and the Muslim world collectively, peace, mercy, and the blessings from God Almighty. Deep within every human spirit is a longing for authentic faith, inner peace, spiritual freedom, internal life. We trust the living God that these longings can be clarified in this new document, the Truth for Khan. The creator of humanity offers these blessings to everyone in the world without discrimination to one's race, color, nationality, language, or religion. The Almighty God cares about every human soul on the planet. I'm like, oh my goodness. I know we got to go to break too. But also this other book that he had written, Islam Revealed, right? And he wrote this particular one, A Christian Arab View of Islam, you know, that's
yes.
there. And his personal testimonies. This is personal testimony. I can't think of the person that he reminds me of.
Yeah.
He reminds me of. That is a cool dad. That's how he ministered.
At times, yes.
Oh, that is
yes.
beautiful. It's the liberated Palestinian and Anise Shirosh story, right?
Yes.
And hopefully we'll make this available to you on how to get a copy of it on the tour. Victoria, I am just so encouraged to see, you know, I don't know, you're talking about like third generation, right? Your father's father was a minister, is that right? Your father's father? Father's grandfather?
My grandfather's on both sides. Were ministers. My grandfather, I don't know if he was actually ever ordained or anything like that, but he did witness to Muslims back then. And he was killed when my father was very young. And then my mother's father was a minister until he was in his 90s.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now your dad, just so that you know, we talk about Israel all the time and how, you know, how the history is and all this kind of stuff. But your dad was in Nazareth or Bethlehem?
Nazareth.
Mm-hmm. When the war happened and they went to Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally had to flee to Jordan to be able to survive what was happening. I guess it's that 1967?
Is that the Six-Day War you're talking about?
Six-Day War, was that it? Whatever
I'm
it was.
I'm not sure.
Is that the right?
Yeah, that's amazing that your dad was in the middle of all that.
Wow.
And, but anybody that has the anointing to be able to minister and reach the heart of the Muslim people, the Arab people, it's just it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So I'm hoping I get blessed the opportunity to be able to meet them and talk to them. Now, real quick, like, now you, when you first came into the world before you actually saw daylight, you're in India now? What is this thing about now? Your
yes.
mom and dad were India? What's that?
Yes, my...
Because I know you have an accent that's a little bit different than India, you know, I was just curious.
This
you
is
know.
A Daphne accent, yes.
I love it, right? That sounds like family, you know,
right,
I love
right.
that. My mom and dad were in India mm-hmm. and were missionaries there at the time. And my mother was pregnant with me, and my father, the story goes,
allegedly.
I wasn't listening.
With her because she was gaining weight, and because of the starving people in.
How are you gaining weight? Because they were so hungry.
She's pregnant
Bless
with
her
me.
Heart.
Though. Yeah, she's pregnant with me.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So they moved over here shortly after that. Mm-hmm. So that's where the accent comes from.
Right. Well, it's just normal talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What accent? What are you talking about?
What accent are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Sounds like family to me. So, you know, there's so many people right now that are seeing what's taking place. Maybe you're watching right now and you're thinking, you know, I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading the whole thing now, despite what I'm hearing from others. And I'm realizing there's more. There's just so much more. And I'm realizing I can't do this thing in my own strength. How did they do this? How did the disciples who were fishermen one day, you know, the next day they're walking with Jesus and all of these things that you read about in the book of Acts is happening. But yet when you get into today's church, it's like, what's going on? And you're probably hungry going, you know, and I just want to tell you that there's more. Mm-hmm. There's just more. And I know you had that kind of experience because you've been a Christian for years, right?
Yeah.
Kind of tell us that journey, you know, and, you know, just how did that happen? You know, here you're walking that out and you find out that it's more. I mean, it's everything in the Word is true, right?
Yes. Well, I think a lot of us, even as Christians, only tend to give the Lord a piece of our heart and not all of it. And we say, okay, we'll give you this, Lord, this part of our life, but not all of it. We're going to keep this part and make these decisions in our life for ourselves. So I had made some decisions in my life that weren't what God wanted.
Right.
And
I made a couple of those.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Wash me, Jesus. Lord.
Yes. Yes.
He's merciful, is he not?
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace.
That's right.
Yes. And so when the Lord walked me through several things through the summer, and I came to realize that I did have to give the Lord my whole heart, not just a piece of it, because walking in the decision that the decisions that I had decided to make was not working.
Isn't that amazing how that works out?
Yes. Yeah. We have our plans and God has his plans. Right.
Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail.
And the Lord had, you know, tried to tell me for years about this. And I tried to, you know, go, okay, well, that was a word for back then and things are different now, you know. But he knew, you know, he had his plans. He knew what was going to happen. He walked me through several things. And when he did, he really began to communicate with me on a much deeper level all day long.
Isn't it amazing? We just go, you know, we just let go.
Yes.
And say, he says in Proverbs chapter 1, he said, if you just would have listened to me, I would reveal the secrets of my heart to you.
Yes.
And even we go through tough things. He even says, if you would have responded to my rebuke, a loving father's rebuke, he said, then I would have turned you back. And he says, because you didn't respond, which you did, and presently I believe I did. I don't know about Pat.
I'm still working on it.
But that he wants to share his secrets with us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who would have ever thought, because the way religion presents God to you, you know, it's just totally not God. And that God has, you know, it's all about fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. And he wants to, and so you did respond. Of course, there was hardship there as well, but we won't talk about the details, but I had those hardships as well. I remember, you know, punching a shelf in my office years ago and say, you know, what do you want from me anyway, God? And he goes, you. Mm-hmm. You know, who ever thought that? Because I was trying to do this for him and that for him, but he wanted all of me. Like you're talking about all of your heart, you know. But he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So it is possible to give God part of our heart, you know, part of our mind, part of our strength, part of our soul. And this whole journey is about giving more of that over to him, isn't it? You know.
Yes, absolutely.
So you made that decision. You say, here I am, and so you start hearing some secrets, or what happened?
Yes. Yeah. So. He had told me some things that were going on for a while. And when I decided to listen to the Lord and realize that what he was telling me was absolutely true. He began to really work with me in an incredible way and telling me about the things that I was going to be doing and so forth. in the future. But I had to make that first step,
right,
to removing the blockages.
Isn't it shocking to think, what if I didn't listen? I wouldn't even know the plan. I got all these mm-hmm. plans predestined for me, mm-hmm. but I just wouldn't listen to them. You know what I'm saying? And when you said, yeah, all of a sudden he just begins to reveal his plans for you.
Yes.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. It was awesome.
Exciting. Does it require faith for these plans?
Absolutely. Great faith. Great faith. Right. It was not an easy journey. You know, it was a very difficult journey for sure.
Right.
But I think whenever, when we walk in the way that God wants us to, and we step in the way that he wants us to, we listen to his voice, mm-hmm. truly listen to his voice and not doubt, then he begins to really swing the doors open wide,
right,
and say, look here, see what I have for right. you.
And that's what we found too, is that when we just dove in and did what he said at a particular level and place, that he was more into his kingdom than the church was. Mm-hmm. And it was like rapidly he began to move.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, I don't want to get out of this rapid, awesome Holy Ghost river moment, you know. And there's so many pit stops that can get you off of this thing. It's like, you know, let's give the rest of our life to this. I mean, think about mm-hmm. the divine encounters that just you alone have had, and how, I mean, literally you've been like conduit and connectivity, and just because you're listening to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a fire starter, not mm-hmm. literally.
Right.
But, you know, and just connect, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, think about
yes.
that.
It's a new level, a different level for sure.
So what would you say to someone who hasn't yet given their full heart over to the Lord? As a matter, we're going to go to break. I want you to think mm-hmm. about that. And we come back, and there's somebody out there right now that says, you know, I don't know, in Pat's terms, it would say, you nailed me. You know, I would say, you're kind of just feeling a little something right there, you know, but they're going like, you know, I have, you know, not given my whole heart over yet. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to do what Victoria did. So we're leaving Morningstar, mm-hmm. and we're saying goodbye. We're going back into the harvest field, you know.
All right.
And everybody's leaving, right? We're walking out, but Victoria's over here got surrounded by these two or three ladies. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
being blessed, people praying for her and everything. Is like, man,
yeah, what was going on?
So we didn't say goodbye, but I wish we would have that video. We could actually make that available. That was pretty funny. Yeah, the ladies that's and all right. that. We do have that somewhere. So this person's sitting right there on their couch, they're listening on the radio, they're watching TV, you know, they're watching maybe social media, whatever it is, they're watching you. Talk to them right now about, they haven't given their whole heart over and they want to do it, but it seems kind of scary because you have to really trust God when you give yeah. your heart over. It's like, but love always trusts. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, it's not really a trust factor as much as, do I love God enough to just give myself to him fully, right?
Yes, yes.
And because we'll often give ourselves to people, but do we give ourselves to God,
you right. know,
fully over? So talk to him, talk to her right now. What would you say to that person who's realizing that, you know, I haven't given my heart fully over, but I want to, mm-hmm. but I don't know how.
Yes. I would say that, first off, I don't think a lot of people understand what Jesus really did for them on the cross, and the pain that he suffered for us because he loved us. You know, John 3:16 is so important, that, you know, he gave to us that gift, that free gift of salvation. And it's still something that we have to accept and take, and ask him to come into our lives and give everything over to him. Give him our whole heart and not just a piece of it. One day we will be judged for what we've done on this earth. There is a heaven. There is a hell, no matter what anybody says. Mm-hmm. And after you die, it's too late. You know, after Jesus comes back and everything's all said and over with, you had to have made the decision, and the decision is eternal. So I think in life, that to know what's going to happen eternally to you is so important. You know, life on earth is this big and eternity is this big. So we have to have an eternal perspective of what is going to happen to us in the future, or we're going to live in hell, or we're going to live in heaven. And it's not by works, lest any man should boast, is what the Bible says. It's just a free gift of salvation. And I've heard it said recently that the anointing is a little bit different. The anointing cost.
Yes.
But the salvation is free. Mm. But I believe God is really calling people to himself during this time. I think things are going to get difficult around the world in the United States.
So what are you sensing in that area?
I just sense that the Lord's saying that there's going to be hard times, that we have to really prepare. And a lot of it is going to be a spiritual preparation for what's going to happen. I believe there'll be a great harvest at the same time as well.
What does a harvest mean for our listeners? They might not know what that terminology means.
Many people coming to know the Lord.
Yes.
Many, many people coming to know the Lord. And I think that for this, it unfortunately may be something bad that happens within the United States, within the world, to bring people to their knees to think, okay, well, this is serious. I've got to make a decision. And maybe that's how the harvest will start. I'm not sure, but I know the Lord is drawing people to himself for this time, for this purpose. It is no doubt in times.
You know, being, you know, in ministry, your father in ministry, you've been probably seeing things for around the world very differently, at least a different viewpoint. And Americans, our present culture, doesn't really know what a hard time is.
Okay.
So when you say difficult time, hard time, you know, maybe some of our listeners or our viewers are thinking like, man, that means I'm going to, every red light's going to get stopped at every red light today, and my cappuccino is going to be cold, and there'll be anchovies on my pizza. I mean, when you say hard times, and what are you sensing, you know, in your spirit? You know, obviously we know in part and prophesy in part, but what are you sensing? That person needs to kind of get a better perspective. It's more than a delayed red light.
Yes.
What are you sensing in that?
I think it's a possibility of some food shortages.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very wise for people to have some extra groceries put away just in the event of, you know, if you're the mother, you're the father of your family, you don't want your kids to be looking at you wondering where their next meal is going to come. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, the grocery stores are empty. The shelves are empty. Just like, you know, we have hurricanes around here all the time. And you can't wait till the last minute.
Nope. Everything's off the shelf within a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
All the gas is empty.
Yeah.
It's not like it's gone from the world. It's the fact that they don't stock, that there's not a room in the back of the store that has 30 years worth of groceries.
Right.
It's called FIFO, first in, first out. They have an ordering system that if you pull a can of peaches off the shelf, someone's producing that can of peaches. It's about to be on a truck and it's heading that way, which means if you remove everything right away, it may take, replenishment-wise, you know, a couple weeks, but if there's difficulty in the whole environment of the whole nation, that truck might not be able to get there for maybe 90 days or 30 days or something like that. Anything else in the area? Food?
Yes. Just whatever it would take for your family to survive for a month with no help from the government or from anyone.
You mean the government's not going to help everybody out? I thought the government is going to help everybody out.
But at the same time, you know, I want to stress too that you know, we're not supposed to fear. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
So that's important to remember too. But there's the joke about the guy during the hurricane that's climbed up a tree, and he says, a boat comes by and says, "Hey, I want to rescue you." And he says, "No, I'm waiting on the Lord to rescue me." And a plane comes by and tries to say, "No, I'm waiting on the Lord." Well, the Lord expects us to use the knowledge that we have. And he has presented many people in the United States, all around the world today, saying, prepare.
Right.
Get ready.
Yes.
You know, something big's fixing to happen. Something major's fixing to happen.
Yes.
And it's just a wise thing to do.
Yeah, I heard that story, I think, where the guy gets to heaven and he says, "God, I was waiting for you in the tree. Why didn't you?" He says, "I sent you a plane. I sent you a boat.
Yes.
I sent you a helicopter."
Yes.
I like when we were together in North Carolina, South Carolina. And, you know, Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries is talking about how people take one scripture that says, you know, trust the Lord and you don't have to do it. And then there's like 17,000 other scriptures that says fight.
Yeah.
You know, get there and prepare, do something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more scripture that backs up like you're talking about. You know, just, you know, Proverbs just says, you know, prudent man sees danger and prepares for it. A fool keeps going and suffers for it.
Yeah.
So just the simple things, you know, like that, like 30 days worth of food, 90 days worth of food and water, and just, it's not, probably not a worse feeling. Mm-hmm. We've experienced some of that, haven't we, with hurricanes?
Yes.
That, whatever you have for
that's
a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. And it is a shocker. You can get mad about it, but that's all you have. And so you can actually have a little something. And the big thing I think is too, is to be ready so you can minister to other people.
Absolutely.
So we're not standing in some, you know, cheese line because we didn't listen to God, and we have to do that if we didn't, because we got to get food for our mm-hmm. family and all that.
Right. We're several steps ahead at that point.
Yes. Yes. And they'll ask, how did you know? And we'll just say, God. You know, he told us to do it. So here, where do you, I mean, cause you're in this whole venture, this God's got you in. I mean, you're beginning to just, you know, hear what God is, you know, parts of what he's saying, and you're finding out like, this is, you know, what, you know, prophecy is kind of like hearing, you know, the Lord. And then we're obligated. Bob Jones said this, I thought was pretty interesting, that a prophet's known on earth by what he says, but he's known in heaven by what he doesn't say.
Hmm.
You know,
wow.
And, you know, I apologize for everything I should have kept not shared. It's like, what do you share and what do you not share? And, you know, because God's just downloading. I mean, he's, if you ask God to speak to you, he wants
get
to speak
ready.
To you.
Absolutely.
We talk about abiding all the time. Go to iabide.org and get your plan to abide. We have a simple plan for you to learn how just to hang out with God and hear what he says. So what would you say to someone? Okay, here you are moving into this place, this new realm of just, okay, God, here I am. And all of a sudden he begins to share his secrets with you. I mean, what do you do with that?
Well, first off, I would say go to the Word, you know, make sure that it lines up with the Word. And
that'd be the Bible, right? The Scripture.
Yes, yes, yes. And pray that he'll put people in your life, in your lives, that will help you to understand all of that a little bit better. I was on quite a journey trying to find people in my life that I could speak to about these things. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will just be your teacher.
Right. That's what he says. He says he'll teach you all things.
Yes, yes.
But having others around you, I mean, it's just like, just by us going and listening to each other in South Carolina from around the world, we all grew by leaps and bounds and got our courage because you're hearing more of a balanced, you know, what's the word, average, but you're just kind of hearing the Word, just kind of the skewed parts of what you're hearing. You can say, okay, but at least we're all hearing this. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be confident in that context of that. But also in regards to, you know, God can give you a brand new heart when you're saved, but you got to grow your own backbone. Giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you. And, you know, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, many people are going to come to me. This is Jesus, the throne room you're talking about. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, did we not prophesy?
Mm-hmm.
Did we not use our gifts and all that? And then he's going to say, I never knew you. And that, what would you say to someone? Because there's some people out there that they want the power, you know, men's lust for power. We've talked about that. As a matter of fact, that's going to be available to all of our partners out there. But, you know, they really want power versus like, you know, I just want to do what God wants. I mean, if it means power, if it means laying my life down, what would you say to that person that their motives in regards to just wanting everything God's got in prophetically? Because, you know, power of prophecy is, you know, a true prophet draws people closer to God and is disappointed if that doesn't happen in someone's life. But a false prophet draws people to themselves and is disappointed when they don't get drawn to them. You know what I'm saying? There's two different things. So what would you say to that person? Because, I mean, you're walking that out right
now.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, I think it's wise for us, especially in these times, to live like we're going to be standing in front of the throne of judgment today or tomorrow, you know, because we have to answer to the Lord, and he sees the motives in the heart. Yeah. He sees the secrets in the heart, and he knows, you know. And I think for me, you know, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do.
Yeah.
Because being in this life and doing things just for show, in the end, is nothing. Yeah. You know, it's not worth anything to do things that are of eternal value.
Right.
Is much more important. So I would say that if someone just wants to do that for power, then they need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, for sure, and to seek Him, you know, and follow Him and want what He wants for their life.
And there was one particular guy, and we're first going to go to break, but he came up to Paul, right? And he said, hey, you know, he had abilities, some sort of manipulative witchcraft he had in his life, but then he saw the gospel preached, and then he saw the power that Paul had in his life, and he says, you know,
How
much that cost? You remember how his response was?
Yeah, he tried to buy it,
He wanted power versus he had no idea. This has nothing to do.
Right.
These signs point to our king or in his kingdom and all that. More we get back from the break, because I want to talk about the importance of, you know, when you do share what God's saying to you, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine because they'll rip you apart and stomp them in the ground. Mm-hmm. And how shocking it is you find out who's got a swine stronghold. He's like, I thought you were my friend, you know, and you're going to kill me. I'm going to have one with Joseph as well. I want to be able to talk about, you know, sharing what we just talked about before the break. But I want to say, too, you just finished the book, Final Quest by Rick Joyner. And I like what you said during the break. Can you share that? Because it's I would encourage everybody to read this book. It gives you such perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's a good perspective of end times, I would say, about the things that are really going on in a... in the spiritual realm. You know, we live in a physical realm and we don't really know that there's, you know, angels and demons, a lot of other things going on that we can't see. Some people have the gift to see that, but so the book talks a little bit about the demons, what their plans are, and it's a very good it shows how the enemy is working with Christians unknowingly thinking that they're following what God wants them to do, but yet they are following in the enemy's army and the enemy's plan.
And, you know, you think about this too, that he says in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so often we're thinking we're wrestling with people, and it does seem that way since they're hitting us. But it's actually what's on that person that's affecting us. And somehow we have to love the person who's hurting us and help deliver them from the thing that's riding them. Because these things were literally, he saw this vision.
Riding them,
riding versus the non-believer had stuff in them. But the Christians had stuff around them and on them. That's some of that, not everyone, but, but some.
Yeah, and one of the things that he was talking about too is this cloak of humility, like we were talking about during the break.
What's that? Cloak of humility? What's that?
Yeah.
That's important.
That's important.
Yes. After he had gone through one of the battles, and this was a vision, I think, a dream that he had had, that Rick Joyner had had. So it's not fiction,
right?
I would say.
Right.
No.
So in the book, it was talking about how he was walking through, and the angels, he had just been given the cloak of humility, which he said was ugly.
Like a potato sack.
Yeah. It wasn't anything to look nice.
Right.
But the angels were bowing to him in the book because of, and he said, why? You know, and they said, because it was the cloak of humility, and how, you know, we get to a spiritual place sometimes and pride gets us. And if we have that cloak of humility on us, you know, that's what God wants for us, you know, not to go, hey, here, you know, look at me and I have this and I can do this.
And God was right there with him the whole time. He just wore that, right? And he just wanted to take a peek at his armor, which he had this strong armor on underneath that. You know, the armor, put on the armor of God, I guess, and that, and he took a peek at it. He just peeked at it just to see what it looked like. You know, I want to see how I'm surviving. I want to count my coins. I want to see how strong I am. I want to see. He just peeked at it, and instantly, wisdom left.
Yeah, he couldn't see anymore.
He couldn't see anymore. Wow, that's a good word. I would encourage everybody to read that book and also Torch and the Sword. Oh my goodness, that's why I see. You know, you're like that 12-year-old girl, Torch and the Sword. She's the powerhouse that goes into the battle and is willing to do what she's got to do to be able to. Isn't that a powerful thing?
That was, yeah.
Yeah, Rick was like, we need some help.
Yeah.
We need some help here. And so here, you share your vision, God speaking to you. You begin to share it with folks and people who are in places maybe even of leadership that for years you just thought, oh, you know, because in America somebody just says, you know, I'm a Christian. Just hear that word and everybody goes, okay, and they just file that away in a place that means something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have somebody as an artist that had some movie that basically just degraded God and said terrible things about God, but they get an award and they just go, I just want to thank Jesus, you know, for this award. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes, oh, that's a Christian artist, you know. Or you pass by a place and it has a pastor there and you say, well, that's a pastor, everybody, you know, all pastors are, you know. But you just never know when you start sharing what God's saying, all kinds of things happen, right?
Yes.
What were some of your experiences without naming names? I mean, because he says, Jesus said, this is what Jesus went up to the people who said that they were doing God's work. And they looked him square in the eye. They looked Jesus square in the eye and they said, you're Lucifer. They called him Satan. They said, Jesus, you know, they said, he's Satan. He says, how in the world can I be doing this by Satan? Even Satan's kingdom, if it's divided, would fall. Mm-hmm. He said, but if I'm doing this, I'm doing this by the finger of God. But that was actually the religious people. So you can even share the truths of God, what God's saying, with people who've been in ministry and they've lost their ability to see, maybe because of pride or whatever. And that thing that's on them, that's messing with them, you know, we talked about the spiritual thing, that they can actually say negative things or bad things or discouraging things. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's the person that comes to them, you know, that maybe they look at more from a physical instead of a spiritual eyesight and go, well, you know, this person has been divorced before. This is a female. What does she have to say to us?
Right.
You know, but.
Because it makes me think about the woman at the well, because the woman at the well. You know, that's what they would have said.
Yes.
She was the particular person that she was in the community she came from. People just didn't talk to her.
Right.
But Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus was with her at the well. And so she had this encounter and he said, I'm going to tell you everything that's in your heart. And he began to explain things that people write people off. He just told her story. And she said, you're the Lord of my life. And matter of fact, she actually gets into ministry at one point and she goes back and begins to evangelize her entire city, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they all showed up to find out who this Jesus was. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. That's like the first female evangelist, I guess, potentially, yes. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But so religion is just amazing. You know,
And I have to say too, that God's really good at taking the least.
Yeah.
And the weakest and making them the greatest.
Yes. That's important because, you know, that's definitely one thing we can relate to around here is that it's when you try to be more in yourself is then God can't use you anymore. But when you're in touch with your desperate need for God and his willingness to meet that need and, you know, God wants to see what he can do through you, not what you can do through him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and if we'll just be that willing vessel and just say, God, have your way. And like you said, we have a limited amount of time in this life, just a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And every individual, no matter our gender, no matter our race, we stand before that throne room of God and we have to answer for our life.
Yes.
And you can't, there's no witnesses, no suspects. You can't blame anybody and say,
nope.
Well, they're the reason why I didn't obey God. And it's time for us. And I really believe, I feel that people are just going to go, you know what? I want God. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Just like the woman at the well, whatever, this is who I want. You know, he knows my life. He forgave me. He loves me. I am all his. Well, you know, I want to say, Victoria, how much we appreciated having you on the program. We're so excited about our future and walking together for the glory zone. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. We're coming to the end of the program. We're also going to make her dad's books available, Dr. Anise Sros, right, on the VFNTV.com, and we're going to continue our relationship. I believe God's about to move powerfully on the Gulf Coast, and we are preparing for it as we speak.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.